The building felt tense before sunrise. A line of lights burned on the top floor where the ministry kept its legal unit. Silence held the halls like a warning. Staff moved with slow steps, eyes fixed ahead, as if they already knew the day would not end clean. A confidential meeting sat on the schedule for 7:16 a.m. No agenda posted. No visitors logged. Only a note that all devices had to stay outside the room. By the time the doors closed, 3 years of buried complaints were back in play. Early reports that never reached a full investigation. Security footage that vanished from the archive. Interviews cut short by someone with more authority than answers. The people inside the room carried files that did not match the official story. They came to settle a problem that had stalked the ministry for years. They wanted it done fast, quiet, and without any trace of how it started. The ministry's complex woke slow on that gray morning. Rain pushed across the courtyard in thin sheets, tapping at the glass walls. Inside, the legal floor stayed lit while the rest of the building climbed toward the day. A clerk unlocked a conference room with careful hands, slid a stack of sealed folders onto the table, and checked the hallway twice before stepping out. Everything about the space felt controlled. No stray papers, no names visible. The air smelled of old carpet and tension. The clock struck 7:16 a.m. when the first set of footsteps reached the doorway. Two legal officers entered, both carrying binders with blank covers. They spoke in short lines, keeping their voices low. They knew the meeting was not routine. It carried weight from years of stalled work that had never been cleared. A third officer joined them, then a representative from Human Resources. No one touched the sealed folders yet. They waited for the director who had called the meeting. The room dimmed as a cloud crossed the sky. The projector stayed off. Phones sat in a locked pouch by the door. Protocol required it for sessions tagged high sensitivity. The director walked in without greeting anyone. She placed her notepad in the center of the table and said they were here to address historical complaints. She said the matter had to be contained today. The mention of historical complaints took them back 3 years. At that time, a junior clerk named Mariah had filed a report against a senior officer. Her statement was brief. She said he made comments that crossed the line. She said it happened more than once. She said she felt unsafe working late when he stayed on the floor. She submitted the report through the official portal at 9:31 p.m. on April 14, 2023. The system stamped it and sent alerts to the early response team. 2 days later, the team logged its first set of notes. They met with Mariah in an empty office near the break room. She kept her voice steady, but her hands shook when she described the second incident. The team wrote that she appeared credible, precise, and consistent. They recommended immediate interviews with the officer named. Those interviews never happened. A week after the initial report, a senior administrator took control of the case file. He said the team had overstepped. He said he would manage the inquiry himself. The file moved from the shared drive to a protected folder that only he could access. He sent a short message to the team saying the matter was under review. After that, the record went cold. The director paused as she reviewed this section. She knew the early trail revealed more questions than answers. She slid the first sealed folder to the center and opened it for the group. The pages inside were crisp, untouched for months. She pointed to a line marked in red pen. It showed the date when the file was removed from standard tracking. She asked why the administrator had done that. No one answered. She moved to the next piece of the record. 2 years after the first report, another complaint surfaced. A different staff member, Thomas, described similar comments from the same officer. Thomas filed his statement at 7:52 a.m. on June 9, 2025. His language matched parts of Mariah's description. Both mentioned moments when the officer blocked the doorway during late shifts. Both said he asked personal questions that made them feel cornered. The early response team wanted to link the cases. They knew patterns held weight. They requested access to the old file. The request was denied. They tried again. Denied. They reached out to the administrator who had taken the original file. He said he was still reviewing it. His tone made it clear further questions would not be welcome. Pressure built inside the ministry during that second complaint. an internal risk memo circulated between HR and legal. The memo warned that the timeline gaps would look suspicious if an audit occurred. It also noted that a pattern claim could have been prevented if the first case had been handled openly. The memo was never filed into the official record. Someone saved it in a hidden folder under a training label that had nothing to do with complaints. The director turned to a new page in the folder. This was the moment that shifted the trajectory of the case. Security staff had reviewed footage from the hallway near the supply room where Thomas said one of the incidents took place. They found a clip showing the officer positioning himself near the doorway while Thomas tried to pass. The clip had been tagged for inclusion in the investigative file, but it never arrived. A security officer later said he delivered it on a flash drive to the administrative office. He said he handed it to the same administrator who held the first case. He said the administrator nodded and told him it was useful material. After that, the clip vanished. The archive held no trace. The shared drive showed no upload. The evidence trail stopped at that handoff. Voices in the meeting room stayed low as the director read this section aloud. Everyone knew the absence of footage was not an accident. Someone had made a decision. Someone had calculated risk and acted. The director tapped her pen against the table. She said the ministry had ignored two aligned reports. She said this failure had consequences they could no longer avoid. The legal officers reviewed the timeline again. They noted the missing interviews from the first case. They noted the gaps in record keeping. They noted the withheld footage. They wrote each detail on a clean sheet. They would need this summary for what came next. The meeting's purpose was not to decide guilt or innocence. It was to decide containment. It was to decide how the ministry would manage the harm created by its own silence. As the hour passed, the director laid out the key question. She asked why the internal process had frozen after the second complaint. She asked who had controlled the outcome and what they sought to protect. She did not expect answers today. She expected agreement on how to move forward without opening the entire past. The room kept its silence for a long stretch. Outside, the rain thickened and blurred the city through the windows. Inside, the group faced the weight of stalled investigations, missing evidence, and a pattern that could not be dismissed. They were here because the ministry could no longer keep the story buried. And yet, the goal of the meeting was to bury it one final time. The director closed the folder and set it aside. She said they would reconvene after reviewing individual tasks. She said the next session would determine what the ministry was willing to disclose and what it would conceal. The ministry's HR wing stayed quiet that afternoon. Most desks were empty. A few staff moved between cubicles carrying locked cases. The air felt heavier than the storm that pushed through earlier. A meeting room on the lower floor held the people tasked with rebuilding the timeline. They needed clarity before any external review reached them. They needed to understand how two complaints had turned into a buried mess. A victim profile sat on the table. Mariah's name, hire date, and department history filled the first page. She had started as a temp during the budget freeze. She moved to full-time after a training cycle and earned solid evaluations. Her notes reflected steady work and no previous issues. When she filed her complaint 3 years earlier, she had attached a long message describing how she had avoided certain hallways after hours. She wrote that the officer made comments about her clothing. She wrote that he stood too close. She wrote that she felt cornered during late shifts. The group studied her wording. It was clear and measured. She had held nothing dramatic. She had not reached for big language. Her details aligned with timestamps from her work logs. She had stayed late on both nights she referenced. She had flagged the pattern during a period when the ministry ran low staffing. Only one supervisor covered the floor. That supervisor was the officer she reported. A second profile lay beside hers. Thomas had joined the ministry 2 years later. His evaluations showed strong performance. He had filed his complaint after three incidents. He wrote that the officer waited for him near the supply room. He wrote that the officer asked personal questions that made him uncomfortable. He wrote that the officer blocked the doorway with his body and kept him talking. the group noted the overlap. They underlined the phrases that matched Mariah's earlier wording. One investigator leaned back in her chair. She said both profiles showed a pattern. She said the ministry should have linked the cases the moment the second report arrived. She said someone stopped that connection on purpose. A former HR investigator joined the meeting at 3:15 p.m. She looked tired, as if she had carried the weight of this history for too long. She said she remembered the first case. She said she remembered preparing interview questions for the officer. She said the administrator called her into his office before she could begin. He told her the case required senior oversight. He told her to hand over everything. She said she asked why. He told her to drop it. She folded her hands on the table as she spoke. She said she checked the shared drive a week later. The folder was gone. She asked IT if it had been moved. They said no. She said she brought it up to her supervisor. Her supervisor told her not to pursue it. She said that was the moment she realized the case would never move forward. The group recorded her statement. They asked if she had kept any notes. She said she saved a few files on her personal drive before the folder disappeared. She said they held early questions and timeline references, but not the full complaint. She said she would send them if needed. Another investigator connected his laptop to the monitor. He opened a metadata report compiled that morning. The report showed digital edits to the complaint folders. It listed timestamps when files were deleted or renamed. Most of the changes happened between 11:30 p.m. and 1 in the morning on two separate nights. He pointed to the user ID attached to the edits. It matched the administrator who had seized the original file. The group fell silent. The report made it clear that someone intervened beyond protocol. Someone had altered the complaint trail. Someone had shaped the record so the case would not advance. They moved to the next item. A leaked transcript had appeared in a restricted folder the week before. No one knew who placed it there. The transcript documented a closed-door meeting between the administrator and two senior officers from the legal unit. The meeting took place 8 months after Mariah filed her complaint. The transcript showed the administrator insisting that the case lacked weight. He said there was no need to create an internal storm. He said the ministry had to protect itself from unnecessary disruption. The transcript ended with a remark that the file would remain off the record until someone directed otherwise. One legal officer shook his head as he read. He said the transcript revealed motive. He said the administrator believed he was protecting the ministry. He said that belief created the very risk they now faced. The former HR investigator looked down at the table. She said the transcript matched what she had sensed at the time. She said the tone felt familiar. She said the pressure to stay quiet had been present for years. A junior staff member stepped into the room with a message. She said the director wanted an update on the evidence trail. She handed a list of items the legal unit needed by the end of the day. It included the profiles, metadata charts, and witness notes. It also included any signs that the cases had been linked internally. The group exchanged looks. They knew the cases had not been linked. They knew the ministry had avoided that step. They shifted to the next piece of evidence. A staff member from IT had submitted a note that morning. He wrote that he discovered a hidden folder labeled under a training module. Inside were fragments of emails referencing the complaints. Some emails had warnings about risk exposure. Some said the ministry had to avoid escalation. None were saved in official tracking. One investigator clenched his jaw as he read the fragments. He said the pattern was clear. The ministry had not lost track of the complaints. It had managed them from the shadows. They reviewed another detail from the leaked transcript. A senior official had warned a staff member to stop asking questions. The statement was short. The tone was sharp. The official said the case could damage careers. He said curiosity would not be rewarded. He said the ministry needed stability, not noise. The group knew what that meant. It meant pressure had come from the top. It meant someone above the administrator had approved the silence. It meant they were dealing with a system, not a single bad call. The conversation shifted to the ministry's legal unit. A stack of planning notes lay on the table. The notes showed the unit had started building a response strategy once the second complaint surfaced. The strategy said the ministry should deny any pattern. It said the ministry should focus on procedural gaps, not conduct. It said the ministry should argue that the first case remained unresolved due to insufficient information. The group read the notes slowly. They knew the strategy did not match the actual trail. They knew the trail held more weight than the ministry wanted to admit. Pressure built in the room. A clear question rose from the evidence. What leverage had pushed the ministry to shift from denial to negotiation? Something changed after the leaked transcript surfaced. Something shook the people who had protected the silence for years. A legal officer wrote the question on a whiteboard. The group stared at it. They knew the answer sat in documents they had not yet seen. They knew the shift meant exposure had become possible. They knew someone had decided the ministry could not risk the story leaving the building. As the meeting neared its end, one investigator asked about the missing footage. He said the act of withholding it was an accident. He asked if the ministry planned to address that loss in its final response. The room stayed silent. No one wanted to speak about the person who held the original file. No one wanted to state the obvious fact that the person still worked in the building. The director's assistant arrived to check on progress. She said the director needed a preliminary assessment within the hour. She said the ministry planned to discuss next steps with outside counsel. The group understood what that meant. Negotiation was coming. A shift in posture always came before a settlement. They gathered their papers and prepared the summary. They wrote that two complaints aligned. They wrote that the ministry had failed to investigate. They wrote that evidence had been withheld and files altered. They wrote that the silence carried risk. But the question stayed on the board. What leverage forced them to negotiate? The group had no answer yet. They ended the meeting on that note. The silence in the room felt heavier than the evidence. The accountant noticed the number first. He sat in a small office on the finance floor, surrounded by gray walls and old filing cabinets. His job was simple on paper. He checked that the ministry spending lined up with the approved budget. That morning, he opened a quarterly report and saw a line item that did not fit. The amount was large. The label said Staff Wellness Initiative. The code did not match any known program. He frowned and leaned closer. The payment had cleared 2 weeks earlier. It went to a firm he did not recognize. The reference field held a short phrase that sounded vague enough to pass a casual review. Professional services, no detail, no breakdown, just one heavy figure that landed like a stone in the ledger. He pulled older reports and traced the same budget line, nothing. Previous quarters showed normal usage, travel reimbursements, training fees, small invoices, then nothing for a stretch. Now one sudden payment that swallowed most of the annual allocation. He checked the authorizing signatures. The document bore the mark of the ministry's legal director and the permanent secretary. Finance had co-signed, but the initials were rushed and hard to read. His own division had not been involved in the early checks. Someone had brought the paperwork only when it was ready for final processing. He flagged the line in his notes. At first, it felt like routine work, a mislabeled payment, a strange allocation. But as he dug in, the edges sharpened. He searched the vendor name across the internal system. It appeared only once. He checked the registry. The firm specialized in mediation and confidential settlements. The accountant sat back in his chair. The room felt smaller. He remembered the whispers that had passed through the building in recent weeks. Talk of old complaints resurfacing. Talk of a case that reached the legal floor and never came back down. He had heard nothing official, but he had learned to read the building's mood. The quiet had shifted. He opened a secure window and checked correspondence tied to the payment code. One thread caught his attention. It included the legal unit, the director's office, and an external law firm. The subject line referenced resolution of historical human resource matters. The messages were tight, no names, no direct reference to the complaints, just mentions of closure, risk reduction, and finality. His pulse picked up. He realized what the line item most likely represented, not a program, not a training, a payout. He printed the summary and walked it down the corridor to his supervisor. She listened in silence as he explained the gap. She did not look surprised. She told him to leave the file on her desk. She said she would review it and get back to him. He left the office and tried to shake the feeling that he had crossed some unseen line. He had raised irregularities before. It was part of his job. But this felt different. The air around the issue was thicker. Doors that normally stayed open were closed. People kept their voices low in the hallway. An hour later, his supervisor called him back in. She said the director of finance wanted to see him. The director's office sat at the far end of the floor. The windows looked out over the city, but the blinds were half closed. Files lay in neat stacks on the desk. The accountant took a seat. The director held the printed summary in his hand. He asked how the accountant had found the line. The accountant explained his routine review. The director listened, then nodded once. He said the payment was authorized at the highest levels. He said it related to a sensitive matter involving staff welfare. He said the accountant's job was done. The accountant paused. He asked if the coding would be corrected in the system. He said the current label did not reflect the nature of the payment. He said it created confusion in the record. The director's eyes tightened. He said the coding would remain as entered. He said the matter had been handled in consultation with external counsel. He repeated that the accountant's role ended with verification. The message was clear. Do not push further. The accountant left the office. He walked back to his small room and closed the door. He stared at the screen, at the quiet columns of numbers that had always felt neutral to him. Now they did not feel neutral. They felt like a mask. By the end of the day, word reached the legal floor that finance had noticed the payment. The director of the legal unit gathered her notes. She knew they could not hold the story in pieces any longer. Outside counsel had already signaled that the complaints would not vanish. The complainants had hired representation. The leaked transcript sat in someone's hands beyond the building. The ministry moved fast. A meeting with outside counsel began at 9:05 a.m. the next morning. It took place in a neutral office across town. The room held the ministry's legal director, a representative from HR, an observer from finance, and two lawyers for the complainants. The atmosphere felt cold and sharp. The complainants sat side by side. Mariah carried a folder with copies of her early notes. Thomas kept his hands clasped. Neither looked at the ministry officials for long. They had already seen what silence there could do. Outside counsel started the session. They laid out the timeline as they understood it. First complaint filed. No full investigation. Files removed from the shared system. Second complaint filed. Similar allegations. Security footage taken and never logged. Metadata showing late-night deletions under one user account. A leaked transcript showing senior officials choosing to minimize the case. They spoke in calm, measured sentences. They did not need to raise their voices. The record did the work. The ministry's legal director responded. She acknowledged gaps in process. She acknowledged that the handling of the complaints had not met internal standards. She did not admit liability. She did not describe the officer's conduct as proven. She framed the events as allegations that had not been managed correctly. The language was careful. Every word had been weighed before the meeting. The complainant's lawyers pressed harder. They said the ministry had created a hostile environment by failing to act. They said the pattern of obstruction spoke for itself. They hinted at public exposure. They did not threaten directly. They did not need to. The risk was obvious. Behind the measured tone, another layer moved. Both sides understood what was really being bargained. The ministry wanted closure without headlines. The complainants wanted recognition, safety, and a concrete cost for the years they had carried this alone. The discussion shifted to terms. Outside counsel presented a figure. It covered lost income opportunities, emotional harm, and legal costs for both Mariah and Thomas. It was high enough to hurt, but not so high that the ministry would walk out. The legal director wrote it down and did her own math. She knew the number would sting. She also knew what a public hearing could cost. She thought about other staff who might step forward if this case ever reached the news. The HR representative spoke once. She said the ministry would commit to policy changes, mandatory training, clearer complaint routes, external oversight on certain categories of cases, It sounded clean. It did not erase the past. They took a break at midday. Outside the meeting room, the legal director called the permanent secretary. She outlined the demands. She described the evidence that might reach the public record, the missing footage, the metadata, the transcript, the years of inaction. The permanent secretary listened. He had been briefed before. This call forced the final decision. He knew what the ministry risked if the case moved into open court. The image of the institution, the trust of staff, the questions from Parliament, the public anger that came when people realized complaints had sat in the dark. He approved the payout. When the meeting resumed, the ministry agreed to a single settlement. They insisted on language that denied admission of liability. They insisted on non-disclosure terms. They wanted no interviews, no public statements, no names attached to the story outside the room. Mariah and Thomas looked at each other. They shared a quiet, tired glance. They had hoped for something cleaner, a clear statement of wrong, a public record that showed they were not imagining what they had lived. But they also understood time. They understood the cost of dragging the case through a system that had failed them once already. Their lawyers walked them through the terms: confidential payment, an internal note that barred the officer from supervising staff, a transfer from Mariah to another agency, a move for Thomas to a different department where the officer held no influence, silent repairs that did not look like repairs to anyone outside the file. They signed. Back at the ministry, the payment moved through finance. It landed in the same coded budget line the accountant had flagged. Staff Wellness Initiative. Professional Services. The ledger closed without a trace of what had really been resolved. Days later, Mariah handed in her resignation. She did not write her reasons. She kept the letter short. She packed her desk in a plain box and walked out without a farewell gathering. Only a few close colleagues knew her history. They watched her leave and felt a quiet anger that had nowhere to go. Thomas stayed. He transferred to another floor and avoided the corridors where the officer still walked. The man faced internal restrictions now: no direct reports, limited overtime, extra oversight on his conduct. None of it appeared on public documents. To most people in the building, nothing had changed. The accountant received a short note from his supervisor. It said the matter he had flagged was resolved. It said no further action was required. He printed the message and slipped it into his personal file. He wanted proof that he had seen the numbers and said something, even if no one wanted to hear it. The ministry returned to routine. Memos went out about training on workplace conduct. Posters went up in the hallways about safe reporting. New guidance documents circulated through email. The building presented itself as a place that had learned from past missteps. Inside the private records, the settlement sat behind encrypted walls. It carried strict instructions on who could open it. Each access would leave a digital footprint. The system made sure of that. The story now belonged to a narrow circle of people who had agreed never to speak of it. In the quiet of his office, the accountant thought about that circle. He thought about the number that had first caught his eye. One line in a long list of expenses. One masked figure that had tried to hide years of silence. He understood what the ministry had risked if the case had reached public record. It had risked the myth that its internal systems protected its people. It had risked the comfort of believing that complaints were handled with care. It had risked the trust that kept staff from walking out the door. The settlement kept that risk locked away. The cost sat in the people who had to carry the truth without ever naming it.